This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. October is often referred to as the season of the witch, but for a growing number of people, witchcraft is a year-round practice. 2 years ago, we invited Jade Moore, the owner of Sincerely the Craft, a St. Louis mystic shop, to join us for a conversation about the appeal of mysticism and the numerous beliefs, faiths, and ritual practices that are generally categorized as witchy. Producers Maya Norfleet and Emily Woodbury sat down with Jade to discuss all that and more. They started the conversation by asking what sparked Jade's interest in witchcraft and what specific type she practices.
Well, I accidentally had a 17-year military career. Okay. And so
quick accident.
A quick accident. I was actually raised around it. My mother was an Irish gypsy witch, and then on my father's side, my grandmother practiced Ifa, which is a spiritual practice from Yoruba of Africa. Yeah, so it's just always been around me and my sister.
And what did that practice look like growing up as a family? Did you practice together? Did you do it kind of individually?
You know, our parents never pushed anything on us. We didn't go to church. We didn't realize that all of these things were going on in the background because we weren't actually allowed over other people's houses. So I never did any sleepovers. I threw a lot of fits. I thought everybody had a horseshoe over their door. I thought everybody burned potpourri or simmered potpourri. I thought everybody did this until I was a little older, and then I realized, oh no, most people do not do this. We were just never made to perceive religion per se. We were able to make our own decisions and move how we wanted to move with that.
So you wouldn't even classify maybe the rituals, the practices you did as religion. How would you describe it? Is it spirituality? Is it
a way of life? Yeah. Just harmonizing with everything around us and flowing with that. And that's how we were kind of taught. And I really thought that everybody else was taught the same way, because it's not anything that little kids talk about, really. So, yeah, it was just always around us. And then as a child, for bedtime stories, my mother used to actually tell us the stories of the tarot. And I didn't know that until later on in life when I picked up the tarot because I wanted to become a little bit more grounded into something. I wanted to have a discipline. And the tarot is a very blueprinted archetype discipline. So when I picked it up and I started reading about it, I was like, wow, I know this. And it's because she told us those stories. So it was actually kind of cool because it was after she passed. So it was kind of something that she left, almost like a legacy. Yeah.
And as an adult, I mean, I think a lot of us have an experience where maybe we grew up with some type of structure, religion, way of life, and then we decide, is this something I want to carry on for myself now that I'm an adult? Maybe, you know, starting my own family or house or just, you know, way mm-hmm. of life. What made you continue to keep these practices for yourself?
Well, when we were growing up, we only really had three rules. Don't do anything immoral, illegal, or unhealthy. And we broke some of those, for sure. But to this day, I feel like there are still good guidelines, and they can probably be found in any practice or spirituality or religion. But after my mother passed, I really wanted to be connected to her. So going through her things, I found all of these things. And then my father chimed in with, well, your grandmother practiced Ifa, which parallels with hoodoo, voodoo, and santeria. So I actually practice hoodoo in my adult life because I feel very connected to that particular practice. I feel it's powerful. It's a way of life. So when I started practicing, I realized the information out there is so, it's just everywhere because anybody could put anything on the internet. And as we know now, books don't actually hold a lot of truth either. Mm-hmm. It's very monitored. So when I started practicing and I was digging around and everything like that, I was like, I want to give truth to people. I want to create a space where people can feel like they're being told the right things. They're not falling in line with this trending manufactured spirituality that's kind of pushed on us. So here I am.
I want to touch on that specifically, because when I entered your store for the first time, even before I entered your store, mm-hmm. driving down the street and seeing, like, coming soon, I was like, oh, what's this? And I look you up. And I'm like, it's a woman of color. It's a woman that looks like me. And before that, I'm very used to seeing older white women, mm-hmm. like long hair and all the stuff. And I'm like, you know, that's fun. And I'll still shop there.
Sure.
When you talk about, like, you wanting to offer people something, like, what specifically are you offering just based off of who you are, your background, that especially in St. Louis or in the Midwest, mm-hmm. we didn't have before you?
Oh, right. Authenticity. I think that it's very important, instead of creating a space to generate sales, to create a space that is safe for people to explore their own journey and to see what enlightenment looks like to them, no matter what face of God that is, really. I think that in our store, we try very hard not to box spirituality. I'm not unthankful for the trend, because I think it does bring people in, but it saddens me that people are making money off of something that is so sacred, you know. So 78% of our store is actually indie artists that we derive our products from, as opposed to huge manufacturers and warehouse spirituality, for sure.
And how do you coach someone who doesn't quite know exactly what they're looking for? You mentioned, like, what enlightenment looks like to you.
Mm-hmm.
How do you help people discover that for themselves?
Well, I think that the first question is, well, what's your problem? What brought you in here? Because there's always something, you know, and it's anything from, oh, I want to be grounded. I feel like I'm loosey-goosey and in the universe, I'm just floating around and I don't feel connected to anything. Or it's, he broke up with me, I want to hex my ex. You know, it's A to Z here, which we don't try to fall into that, of course. But what we generally tell people is walk around, see what you're magnetized to, and then we'll go from there. Because generally what you're magnetized to is something that you have, like, a little bit of comfortability with. But generally it will co-align with the reason why they're actually here, and whatever that reason is. Sometimes it can get a little bit heavy, and I am not a psychologist, but we hear a lot of issues and things like that, and we try our best to kind of steer them in a way that makes sense for them.
Maya, what did you find yourself drawn to when you walked in the shop?
I will admit, I was just excited to see, well, I've been calling it at work, witchy stuff. Mm-hmm. I've been cussing and saying witchy shit, like,
yeah.
Yes. That immediately drew me, mainly because, you know, I don't know if I told you this, you opened up this location in my neighborhood. I grew up there, and my mom literally lives, like, three blocks down the
amazing.
Street. So for me, I'm like, I've seen my neighborhood change, you know, for almost 33 years of people coming in, leaving, buildings being vacant forever. Then all of a sudden, boom, there's stuff there. And your establishment, your shop is, in my opinion, very different from everything else that's up and down Locust, in that just, like, the product mm-hmm. that you are offering, as well as, like you mentioned, it's more local or indie mm-hmm. instead of just, like, here's a box of crystals, pick
right,
something up, you
right,
know?
Right, we try. But we were actually in Belleville for 4 years, so we were across the river. So we had kind of generated a following there. But what we saw happen, especially during COVID, and when people were picking up things and ordering things and we were shipping out things, there were a lot of people coming from St. Louis. And I think it is because we offer more of the African spirituality, more of the indie spirituality and everything like that. So we decided we wanted to be more accessible. So that's why we're here.
And that's something that I mean, already, like, looking through the windows, I'm like, that looks cool. But when I got to the section that do have the Orishas, I was like, what? I could only find stuff like that, information, items to make an altar online. So to see it right in front of me, and like I said, down the street from where I grew up, I was extremely hyped. Can you share more, like, for folks who were like, what's that? Share more about that.
So the Orishas fall in line with the Yoruba religion of Ifa, as well as Hoodoo, Voodoo, and Santeria. It came over from the slave trade. And then, of course, Hoodoo was originated in Louisiana because that was a stop, right? So that's kind of like a parallel to it. Unfortunately, you can't find very many stores, like you said, that offer these things in person. And I feel like it's so important. Especially in St. Louis, we are so black and brown here. So to be able to see people like yourself light up, it is so joyous for us, especially for myself, because I also was not able to find anything like this. So I wanted to make it my mission to have this, these African-centric religious types and items available for everyone and make them affordable as well. So we don't jack up the prices or anything like that, like you may see out there in the field, because it's very important to me for people to be able to celebrate their spirituality accessibly and joyfully and not have to do it with their head hanging low when they're leaving, you know. So it's an exciting thing to see people come in and they get so excited about it. And I have to say, I have never seen more black men come into our shop in Belleville. That didn't happen. So it is so amazing to see these spiritual men come in, and it's just an amazing thing.
What are some common misconceptions about what you do, what you offer, that you'd love to kind of clarify for folks?
Well, we don't sacrifice babies.
Oh, gosh.
No one's ever said that to you, right?
Yes. The things that we hear, even, and I can say this, we heard a lot more in Belleville, but we haven't been here that long. But the things that we hear sometimes are like, really? If you believe that, then you believe in a lot more than what's in this store, and you'll believe anything. But we're not dancing, you know, around bonfires naked under the full moon. I would, but give me a space and I would. But we're not doing that. We're not doing blood rituals. We're not, you know, sacrificing any type of animals or anything like that. And I think that sometimes those things can be very misconstrued as anything besides something under the Catholic umbrella or the Christian umbrella seems bad, or it seems evil, or it seems, you know, something that we're praying to the devil. I don't believe in the devil, so that's not mine. But I often get, are you a good witch or are you a bad witch? And I'm like, are you a good Christian or are you a bad Christian? Because that's the same question.
One of the biggest reasons how I even personally got into, you know, metaphysics, witchcraft, what have you, is when I first learned myself about the Orishas. And I've always knew, you know, like we were talking about, the history of the transatlantic slave trade and people, black people, people of African descent being stripped of their culture and their ways of worship and honoring their ancestors, and even not just black people, but even like Native Americans or, you know, indigenous peoples, and how it gets branded, all of that gets branded as evil, or you're a witch and you're going to get prosecuted if you keep doing it one way or another. I just wanted to say that, and if there's anything that spurs from that, because that is, for me, the biggest thing, is reconnecting to culture that has been lost over generations.
Right, and it should be protected and it should be celebrated and not pushed down. I think that people protect this umbrella of Christianity and Catholicism so hard, and they fall right in line with perceiving anything that is not that as being evil, whereas the tradition and the spirituality of Ifa, hoodoo and voodoo and santeria, it's to live harmoniously. It's to perceive spirit in all things. There is only one God, but we're not praying to rocks or the rain, but we pray to the creator of, and so we're able to feel interconnected with everything around us. And when you feel interconnected with everything around you, you're living that flow in that spirit. And in order to, when you're doing that, you're able to feel interconnected to your bloodline and to your ancestors. And that allows you to commune with your ancestors. If you can commune with your ancestors, with your bloodline, especially my black and brown people, that means that you can commune with your higher self. And when you can do that, you are unstoppable. So in order to feel all of that power behind you, I think it's so beautiful and it's so important, and it saddens me to ever even conceive that this is considered evil when it's really not. It's the opposition of.
How'd you come up with the name of your store?
Sincerely the Craft?
Yeah.
It was interesting because the store was named about a million things before conception. But it wasn't because of the movie, I swear. although, I guess, cool story if it was. But I wanted it to stick out as what we are. We're sincere with what we're trying to promote, what we're trying to put out there, what we're trying to allow people to come in and ascertain. It's all about the craft. And I think that the craft is such a broad umbrella term, and I don't think that people realize how broad of a term that is. So it's whatever your craft is. And we're going to be as sincere as possible when addressing the rights and the respect to your craft.
Jade, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was producers Emily Woodbury and Maya Norfleet's conversation with Jade Moore, owner of Sincerely the Craft.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet
and Emily Woodbury. Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.